Welcome to Unk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Courtney Flaherty. Unk Live On Air is a podcast from Unk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Unk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Jennifer M. King on findings from a retrospective study on the association between the presence of teratoma in the primary orchiectomy and the rate of teratoma in residual non-retroperitoneal disease post-chemotherapy for non-seminomatous germ cell tumors. Dr. King is an assistant professor of clinical medicine in the Department of Medicine in the Division of Hematology and Oncology at Indiana University School of Medicine, located in Indianapolis. Using the Indiana University Testicular Cancer Database, the retrospective analysis revealed that both groups of patients had comparable rates of teratoma or active germ cell tumor in residual non-RP disease. 55% of patients with teratoma in the primary tumor site had one or more post-chemotherapy non-RP teratomatous elements in their residual disease, versus 17% of patients without teratoma in the primary tumor. Moreover, 56% of patients without teratoma in the primary tumor had an active germ cell tumor at the time of surgical resection, versus 31% of those with primary tumor teratoma. In our exclusive interview, Dr. King discussed the need for improved guidance when determining the appropriate management strategy in residual non-RP testicular cancer, the methodology and patient population included in this retrospective review, and how the presence or absence of teratoma in the primary tumor should not preclude surgical resection in this patient population. Could you begin by discussing the rationale for investigating factors that could guide the management of residual non-retroperitoneal disease in the post-chemo non-seminomatous germ cell tumors?
Testicular cancer has really been a great success story, with the majority of patients being cured with first-line chemotherapy. There is a subset of patients who have residual disease after first-line chemo. The majority of those patients will have residual retroperitoneal disease in addition to non-retroperitoneal disease. But there is a subset of patients who have only residual non-retroperitoneal disease without any retroperitoneal disease. And there's really limited data on how to help guide the management of those patients and try to identify who truly needs resection so that we can try to minimize the treatment burden for these patients as much as possible.
Could you briefly describe the trial design and its key objectives?
This was a retrospective review using our Indiana University Testicular Cancer Database. There has been previous work that has demonstrated that there's an association between having teratoma in the primary and having teratoma in the residual retroperitoneal disease. And so our main objective with this study was to try to determine if the presence of teratoma in the primary orchiectomy was associated with a higher rate of teratoma in the post-chemotherapy residual non-retroperitoneal disease.
Expanding on that patient population, who was included in the study, and were there any notable baseline characteristics you feel should be highlighted?
So patients with metastatic non-seminoma who had residual non-retroperitoneal disease in the absence of any residual retroperitoneal disease were included. And this was either post-first-line chemo or post-salvage chemo. There were some patients who were included who did have retroperitoneal metastasis at the time of diagnosis, but after chemotherapy, their retroperitoneal disease had normalized for all patients. I will say over half of patients who were included were IGCCCG risk, either intermediate or high. And the majority of the non-retroperitoneal resection sites were lung resections. About 65% of patients had a lung resection, but the others that were included were liver, bone, as well as cervical and mediastinal lymph nodes.
Could we talk a little bit about what the study revealed about the prevalence of teratoma and active germ cell tumors in patients with this residual non-RP disease?
Really looking at our primary objective here. So of the patients who had teratoma in their primary orchiectomy site, 55% of those patients had at least one post-chemotherapy non-retroperitoneal resection with teratoma. And in those who did not have teratoma in the primary, that percentage was only 17%. So that was statistically significant. But really what I think is really interesting is in those who did not have teratoma in the primary, 56% of those patients had active germ cell tumor in the residual non-retroperitoneal disease. And that was compared to 31% of patients who had teratoma in the primary, and that was also statistically significant.
And so overall, what do these findings indicate about, you know, the need for surgical resection in this patient population?
Yeah, so I think what's really important with this data is we couldn't really find a clear criteria to recommend observation for these patients, because patients who had teratoma in the primary, yes, had a higher rate of having teratoma in the residual non-retroperitoneal disease, but even in patients who did not have teratoma in the primary, there were pretty high rates of active germ cell tumor. The absence of teratoma in the primary should not preclude surgical resection of this disease.
Were any other results in the study particularly unexpected or interesting to note?
I do think, interestingly, we found higher rates of active germ cell tumor in the residual non-retroperitoneal disease, and this was for all sites. When we compare that to usually the 10 to 15% chance of having active germ cell tumor in retroperitoneal residual disease, we're not entirely clear why that is, but we postulate that it has something to do with differences in the biology for hematogenous metastasis compared to lymphatic metastasis, like you would see with retroperitoneal disease.
What limitations from this study might be important to note, including things like, you know, selection bias?
It was a retrospective study, and so definitely selection bias was a limitation of this study. That is one benefit of our testicular cancer database, though, is that it is a prospectively maintained, and so we include consecutive patients who are seen at our institution, but that is definitely a limitation of this study.
Is there anything else that you would consider, you know, clinically significant from these findings? Any other implications for recommending surveillance versus surgical resection?
I think the most important thing is that we didn't find any clear criteria to recommend surveillance or observation of this residual non-retroperitoneal disease. And we even tried to identify other factors like tumor markers or either first-line chemo versus salvage chemo. And we still could not find a correlation between these other factors and the presence of either active germ cell tumor or teratoma. The big thing is there's no clear criteria for observation for these patients.
What next steps are planned for this research? Do they open up any future avenues for investigation?
Yeah, definitely. So we are actually looking at our next step, which would be looking at outcomes for this patient population. So there's been previous work that has found no impact on survival for patients who have teratoma either in the primary site or in the residual retroperitoneal disease. But we are looking to evaluate this for this particular subset of patients who have residual non-retroperitoneal disease and looking at their outcomes.
Are you or your institution involved in any other research efforts within genitourinary cancer that you want to take the time to highlight?
Yeah, so I do think moving forward, there's a lot of exciting research into microRNA and circulating tumor DNA. And I think that this is definitely an area that may help to further delineate patients who truly need to undergo surgical resection versus those who could be safely followed with surveillance.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episodes of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us as well. Thanks again for listening to Onc Live On Air.